did a whole tour of the South. So I went all over the South. I went to Nashville, Tennessee, and I played the Grand Old Opry. Yes, and now I'm playing a haunted dinner theater, so this is exciting. Future Dave and Buster's right here. No. Why would you say that about this beautiful place? So the Grand Old Opry, I mean, it's the birthplace of country music. It's literally a church. It's beautiful, and I'm a dick. So I walked out on stage, and I was like, good evening. Don't you idiots realize that country music sucks? They did not like that. They were upset. They were pissed. One guy stood up in the back and was like, get him! And that was Garth Brooks. He's a big fan. Big fan. Big fan of mine. Comes to all my shows. So I said, okay, so here's really why country music sucks. There's an instrument in country music. You put it in your mouth. You flick it like this. It goes bing, 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 bing. Do you guys know what the name of that instrument is? Thank you for saying it, sir. We have an anti-Semite here. It's called a Jew's harp. It's called a Jew's harp. And I was like, you guys need to change the name of that instrument. And Garth's like, why? That's what they sound like, Joel. And I'm like, shut up, Garth. You're not helping. So then I have to double down in these situations. So I went, hey, Tennessee, you guys used to be a slave state, huh? And that's when those fucking weirdos started cheering. I know, this is not funny. This is a report. We need to go tell news outlets about this thing that happened. And so now they're cheering, and I'm this white, and I realize, well, I've started a rally. And so I was like, Roy Moore, everybody, come on out. So now they're cheering, and so then I have to triple down on them. So then I went, we had to come down here and kill you motherfuckers to stop you from doing it. And Garth's like, try it again, Joel, we're running out. I got on the General Lee and got out of there, though. Then I booked a show about as far south as you could go in New Orleans. And everyone's like, what about Florida? Florida, not a state. So, not a part of our country, everybody knows that. They seceded. They don't even know it. I played the French Quarter in New Orleans, and beautiful French Quarter. I walked out on stage, and I was just like, good evening, shitty Paris. Right? Because only in America would we take a perfectly preserved French neighborhood from 250 years ago, and what do we do with it? Yeah, titties and beads. Yeah, here's my titty, give me my bead. Yeah. Mardi Gras, that's exactly how Jesus wanted Lent to start, right? He's like, here's some beads, I see your tits. All right, I'll be back in 40 days, guys. So, great. Very biblical. I walked my kids down historic Bourbon Street, where I was like, oh, look, kids, there's the Hustler store. Yes, that's where Napoleon got his crotchless panties. And there's a bar on that street called Big Ass Beers. Very French. And my 9-year-old was like, Dad, there is a swear word in the name of that bar. And this is the same 9-year-old that when he was watching The Martian on an iPad with headphones, he was like, he said, fuck. He said, fuck again. 3-hour plane ride. It was great. So then I wanted to get the family out into the bayou, out into the bog. I wanted to see some gators. So I hired a boat with a big, huge fan on the back. It was ridiculous. And then I hired a boat captain, and he looked like Guy Fieri's meth photo. He was like 6'1", 6'2", maybe 150 pounds. Flip-flops, boot-cut jeans, belt buckle, trucker hat, flames going up his forearms, an assortment of teeth, but that box of chocolates had definitely been picked over. And I swear he was wearing a plaid button-down collared sleeveless shirt. And I was like, boner, check. And I said to him, so this was not cheap to rent all this stuff. So I was like, hey man, are we actually gonna see any gators when we get out there? And he goes, oh, well, I hope so. And I was like, Foghorn Leghorn lives, ladies and gentlemen. Kids, Foghorn Leghorn was a cartoon back in the 1880s. Used to open here for Charlie Chaplin. No, so we Miami Vice our way out through the bayou. We go like 6 miles way out there. And the second that Scabby Fieri cuts the engine, the second he does that, all the gators in the Gulf of Mexico are Michael Phelpsing their way towards the boat. I've never been more terrified in my life. I just grabbed my 12-year-old and I was like, decoy! Hit it, let's go! And these alligators—they're not dumb, because they see these boats coming and they know the second that they stop, they're going to be fed. And what do you feed alligators? That's right, marshmallows. Because of the southern human population is morbidly obese, so should the wildlife. It's an airtight argument. So here comes this tsunami wave of luggage and boots and it's fake. So they don't stop when they get to the boat. Like the first round, when they get there, they want to be fed first. So they begin ramming their heads into the boat. And they're like, give me the fucking marshmallows. We have nothing out here like them. I love them, I love them, I love them. And then you start throwing these marshmallows at them and they're like Johnny Depp in Blow. They're like, oh yeah, give me the marshmallow, yeah. Give me the bag. And Then that first round, they get that sugar buzz, their eyes glass over, and their bellies are facing the sun, they pass out, and then the next round of gators use them as a staircase to get into the actual boat. Where they're like, don't mind if I do, well, hi, is this your son? All right, so after we gave the wildlife diabetes, glassy-eyed Fieri went to the front of the boat, and he goes, so, y'all staying in New Orleans? And I was like, yes, we are. Don't tell them where, kids. And he goes, you know, New Orleans is 12 miles from here, but I haven't been there in 7 years. And I was like, why? Why? If I ask why, do I get to go back to New Orleans? Why? Why haven't you been? He goes, I don't go to New Orleans because them young black men will stab you for nothing. And I was like, kids, gather around. The racist is giving a talk. Well, that's right. You're already gathered around. We're in a tiny fucking airboat. We're trapped. And my 12-year-old's like, let's just see what he has to say, Dad. Please continue. So then there's all these ships along the shore, and they're all rusted out, big old ships. And he goes, see that? And I was like, yeah, I can see ships and all sorts of enormous things, like stadiums or blimps. Anyway, I'll keep a list for me. But he just points at me, he goes, Obama. And I was like, Obama's into scrap since he got out of office? I thought he was doing public speaking. And he was like, no, Obama stopped all the oil from coming down and put all them ships out of business. And I was like, oh, I thought it was from that oil platform out in the Gulf that caught fire and fell over and Mark Wahlberg did that movie about it. And he was like, maybe. And I told that joke and a couple months ago, and this woman in the front row, as soon as I said it, she was like, deep water horizon. Deep water horizon. The name of the Mark Wahlberg film was Deep Water Horizon. And I'm like, yeah, nobody thought it was this Transformers movie, lady. Where they made a last stand on an oil platform, the Decepticons knocked it over and set it on fire. Deep water horizon. So we finally get back to shore and we meet his wife, sister. And absolutely, absolutely. He was like, we grew up together. I'm like, yeah, I know, I did. So, that's why I only got you 123 and me. Just swab on both. oh no, you didn't. Okay, so this is the part where I was like, oh, the South is the weirdest place on the planet. So somehow I get a signal on my phone and I'm able to call an Uber, and here comes the Uber down the dirt road, and I notice driving it is an older black gentleman. So I'm like, oh shit, hit the accelerator, we'll grab on. And so I get in there and I'm very excited to talk to him. And I was like, you are not gonna believe what Gaunt Fieri said back there. He said that he wouldn't go in the city for years because young black men will stab you for nothing. And the older black gentleman driving the Uber goes, well, can't say I don't disagree. What the fuck is wrong with the South? But I think South is all right, but I think the worst city in America, I think we all know it's on the tip of our tongue, so let's say it together. 1, 2, 3, Denver, Colorado. Say, look at us, in unison. Oh, hold on to your hats, guys. I'm going after Denver. Yes, well, first of all, here's why Denver sucks. First of all, they built the airport just outside of Sacramento. It's, you know, the Bay Area. It's so far away. Now, I know that, now, if you want to, if you say you need to go to the San Francisco airport, right? And it's a traffic-y Tuesday. How long is that gonna take you?
1 hour, 2 hours.
Okay, 1 hour, 2 hours. Clearly, you all have different driving habits. But let's say an hour and a half. If you are in Denver and want to go to the Denver airport with no traffic, pack food, okay? Hydrate. It is a journey. When you land there, you can't see the Rocky Mountains because the earth has curved away from them, all right? Then when you're driving out of that place, there is a 100-foot statue of a evil Bronco. And it's called Lucifer. It's terrifying. And it's got red eyes. And when you drive out of there, everybody from Colorado, they'll go, hey, you see that statue? And you'll be like, yeah, I can see that. And other big stuff like ships. And, all right, never mind. And everyone will tell you, they go like, well, you know, the artist who built that, while he was building it, fell off and died. And you'd be like, great story. I hope you have more fun Colorado lore like that for our 6-hour journey into Denver. So then I played a show in Vail, Colorado, where the people are as white as you. They're whiter than you. And they're as white as the slopes. And I played a private mountain. That's how rich these people were. There were guard gates, there were heated sidewalks, there was escalators going up to the chairlifts, and the chairlifts had bubbles, like plexiglass bubbles. It was fucking nice. It was like a James Bond villain's lair, and Papa John was their master, where he was like, bring me more baby skin. Anyway, so I played this beautiful hand-built cedar theater. It was beautiful, and so they were super rich, so I decided to walk on stage, and so I was just like, good evening, 1%. And they were like, good evening, Joel, how are you? Bald eagle drumstick? Don't mind if I do. Ah. I ate the bone. And then I was like, so did you guys vote for Trump? And they were like, of course we did. Is that a rhetorical question? We love money. And all their monocles fell out at once. And they're like, pick that up, Jeeves, with your teeth. So I'm doing the show, and I noticed that there are 6 security guards surrounding the stage. I've never had more security in my life. And I mean, here, there's no security. I mean, you could walk right up and bite my dick. And if you want, do it. Just give it a bite. I don't care. You could horribly maim me right now. Just terrible. All right? So, okay. Well, later. I'll do it later. But, no, so I don't, it was crazy. So they were, I was like, I've never had more security in my life. I was like, what happens if I don't entertain you up to the level you are accustomed to? Do you rush the stage and rip my limbs off and drink my blood to become younger again? And I was like, because I'm gonna outrun you since you're all very old, you've all had hip replacement surgery, and there's gonna be more clicking noise than the smoke monster from Lost. And then I realized the security was not there to protect me. It was to protect them. That's how rich these people were, because they didn't know who I was. Can you believe that? They didn't know who I was. I was on Parks and Rec for 6 years. I wasn't on fucking Parks and Rec. We loved you on Parks and Rec. You and I was on a show called Commodity. It was on CNBC. And cheering for me on Parks and Rec. I thought that might be Billy Eichner. What the? No. So I don't know who they thought I was. They're like, oh, this is that comedian who pulls his dick out and just does the sprinkler the whole time, and then this guy comes up and bites it. So No, but this happened, someone not knowing who I was, on a much larger scale. I did an article for the Los Angeles Times, which is a small paper south of here. And it was a fascinating series of articles where comedians and actors would drive a reporter around and show them their favorite places in Los Angeles. Fascinating, Pulitzer Prize-winning stuff, guys. It's on display in the Library of Congress. Now, anyway, I'm a half an hour into this interview, and the guy's been asking me all sorts of questions. And then, this is like a year after The Soup was off the air, and so the guy goes, "So, where do you find all the clips?" And I was like, "Well, when we did find them, we would turn on the TV, usually to a reality show based in Atlanta, and a group of married women would go to dinner, get drunk, and then fight each other, and then there would be a reunion show about that fight. Then we'd show that clip, and then it would come out to me, I would make a joke, the show would be over, I would go home and masturbate through my pocket like Mike Pence." So, and he goes, "Oh, because I thought you got all the clips from the internet." And I was like, "No, we got some of them from the internet, but no." And then he goes, "So, how's Comedy Central treating you?" And I was like, "Well, when I turn it on, I'll watch a Workaholics rerun, and that treats me great, because it's really funny, and then I'm ready to go to bed. It's been half an hour, and I'm ready to go." So anyway, so then I realized what was going on. So I said, "Hey, Mr. Reporter Man, just for fun, say my first name out loud." And he goes, "Okay, Daniel." Yeah. And I went, "Tosh, exactly. That is my name, Daniel Tosh." Because I realized at that moment that I had an opportunity. So I went, "I, Daniel Tosh, shall now continue showing you my favorite places in Los Angeles." So I'm like, "Oh, look, here's my favorite alley to molest children in. Me, Daniel Tosh, child molester. Oh, and when I'm done, I throw him in this dumpster. Daniel Tosh's murdering dumpster." The article turned out great, you guys. But I think, I think the weirdest state in our country, it's not Florida, because everyone knows, again, not a state. And I think it's a territory at this point. They'll get there. But anyway, no, I think the weirdest state, so let's say it together on the count of three. One, two, three, Utah. I heard a guy yell Portland. Stanford grad? Well, I live in East Palo Alto, so does that count? No, Portland. Ah, Portland State, yes. Anyway, what am I talking about? All right, so Utah, you guys, whatever you shouted out other than Portland. Maybe it's Spokane. No, no, I when I said Utah, I saw the looks on your faces. You all went, yep. It absolutely is the weirdest. It's weird, because when you meet someone from Utah, they'll be like, "I'm from Utah," and we all go, okay. No, so Utah, I love Utah. I love the Mormons. I'm fascinated by them. I love doing shows there. I was in Salt Lake, and I walked out on stage, and I was like, "Good evening, weirdos." And in unison back at me, they were like, "Good evening, Joel, how are you? You look like us. Join us." They have the wackiest liquor laws in the country. And if you go to a bar in Salt Lake, you will see no bottles of booze displayed. You will see no beer being poured, because it all has to be poured behind something called the Zion Curtain. I am not making this up. You really cannot mix drinks in front of people. I don't know why, what the logic is. Maybe they think like, well, if they don't see the drinks being made, they'll never be able to duplicate that at home, right? Person's like, how did they get the rum in the Diet Coke? I'll never know. It's too complicated to attempt, right? It's dangerous. It's a Harry Potter spell. So you have to learn Elven. So the other thing they have is that you cannot order two drinks at once. You cannot walk up to a bar and go, I'll have a whiskey sour and my mate will have a Prosecco. They will look at you and go, get the fuck out, addict, and intervention. So no, and the other, this is how they get around it. If you order a shot and a beer, they will walk up to your table with those drinks, hand you the shot, and then go like, come on, and then you do the shot, then they'll hand you the beer, because that solves alcoholism, right? When you have a waiter going like, come on, dude, I have other customers, drink it. So then they also, they can't drink coffee. And I was like, guys, coffee? I mean, I get booze a little, but coffee? What is wrong with coffee? And a dude screamed out. He was like, it's the temperature of hell, Joel. And I was like, C minus on the joke, dude. But I swear there were a few people in the audience who were like, well, you know, that's true. It's actually true. Satan gave an interview. It's true. It was in The Economist. But and I'm like, okay, can you have cold brew? And they were like, oh, Joel, God knows that cold brew was hot at one point. You can't trick God, dummy. Sorry for cursing. And I went, okay. But you all have, I was like, but you can drink Pepsi. You all have Pepsi in front of you. That's got a bunch of caffeine in it. How come you can drink that? And then I found out in 2012, BYU said it was okay to have as much sugar soda as you wanted, and Pepsi won. So they all had Pepsi in front of them. I was like, okay, riddle me this. What if you are a Mormon construction worker, and it's the summertime, it's August 15th, and you get to the job site at 6 a.m. You go, and it's a little cool out, you've got a Pepsi, you forget about it, it's on your dash against the windshield. You go work in the hot Mormon sun for 9 hours, and you come back to your truck, you are super thirsty, but all the windows are rolled up, and that truck is now an oven, and that Pepsi is easily the temperature of a hot cup of coffee. Can you drink it? They went silent. One dude stood up in the back and went, fuck. Boom, and blew his head off right there. But, okay, so Trump's not the guy that scares me. The guy that really scares me is Mike Pence. Yeah, see, all the liberals are like, fucking sock it to him right now, Joe, fucking nail. No, it's actually for not the reasons you think. Here's why. He gave an interview 2 years before he became the vice president, and he answered all these questions, and I just to let you know, when you're in an interview, you don't have to answer anything. I was on third tier cable for 12 years, and thanks for remembering. Yes. That was me. But anyway, yeah, and when you are asked a question you don't want to answer, all you have, well, I was just pretended I was on a game show and went, pass, but you don't have to answer anything. He decided to answer it, I don't know why. And he said in this interview, and I quote, that he would not go to dinner with a female colleague alone. That sounds like a serial killer trying not to murder again, right? Why would you say that, and why would you say it in that way, unless you're a silicone? He's like, okay, well, you know what happens. I get the reservation, we're alone, and I'm like, I can't always do that. I put her skin on. I just put on a skin. Then he said in this same interview, and I was like, you didn't have to say this, but he said in this same interview that he would not go to a party where they're serving alcohol without his wife. That is someone who has fucked up, right? Why would you say it out loud, right? Even if you did, why even mention it? Maybe to let your wife know it's not gonna happen again. I don't know. Or maybe it was an affirmation of some sort. I don't know. Like, you didn't walk in tonight and go like, at no point during the show will I put straws up my butt. You'd be like, okay, Bob, but why would you say that out loud? Because Bob used to put straws up his butt. I just want the security footage from that party where he fucked up. Where he walked in and he's like, oh, hi, hey, how you doing? Yeah, is my wife? Oh, she's not? Oh, there's a bar. It's pussy time, right? That's in it too. He said pussy time. Yeah, he did. No. Here's the other thing that freaks me out about Mike Pence. So he does this thing where, watch him publicly speak, okay? Just watch, like the next speech he gives or the next interview he gives, he won't stop smiling. Watch him, he's always smiling. Because I think it's because secretly he is afraid and terrified of public speaking, and to keep himself comfortable while he's doing it, he just very subtly massages the tip of his penis while he's talking. Watch him, because he'll be like, disgusting. It's disgusting. That's all I'm gonna do on them, you guys. But I did, all right, so soon as Trump was elected, I only booked in red states and Bakersfield. And I just booked shows in red states because I wanted to meet everyone. And so I booked a show in Oklahoma City. I mean, fuck, patient zero, right? So so I walk out on stage and I'm like, good evening, did you guys vote for Trump? And they began booing. Loudly, like booing and hissing. They were very upset. And so I went, oh, I thought you guys did because I voted for him. And they were like, oh, you did? Well, of course you voted for him. We're just being blatant, y'all. Okay. they didn't do that. but there were a lot of dudes wearing overalls with no t-shirt or anything underneath them. Just one strap fastened. And they're like, it does the job. So I was doing a show there, and I was backstage, and the owner of the place came up to me, and he goes, hey, Joel, just so you know, out in the audience tonight, there's about 30 wounded warriors. And I'm like, that's awesome. I cannot wait to say hi. Thank you so much. And I'm about to walk on stage, and a waiter basically punches me in the chest, and he's like, there's wounded warriors in the audience tonight. And I'm like, just heard, very excited. I'm gonna go say hi to them, thank you. Then I'm on stage and the opening comic is licking my ear to tell me, he's like, there's wounded warriors. And I was like, yes, I heard. Did you guys think I had a fucking stroke? Yes, I know, I'm gonna say hi. What's going on? And so then, so I say, ladies and gentlemen, there's wounded warriors here tonight. And there's this great, wonderful ovation. Everyone's clapping, it was a really cool moment. And I have always had a question for the wounded warriors. And I thought to myself, this is the right time, right? So I said, wounded warriors, thank you for coming. Thank you for your service. Thank you for being here. I have a question for you. Is there someone in your group who is perhaps on average way less wounded than the rest of you? Like, maybe his name is Gary, and Gary just got winged in the thumb or something. But Gary shows up to all the events. And Gary wears all the t-shirts, and he's got all the bumper stickers, and he takes all the photographs, and you've got a traumatic brain injury, and it's beginning to piss you off. Is there someone in your group like that? They all went silent. So I was like, okay, there is. Now, let's find him. So, I said, look, you don't need to admit it to the group yourself. We as the audience would just like to know who Gary is. So, how about this? On the count of three, you guys close your eyes and point, okay? Here we go. Count of three. One, two, three, close your eyes and point. Nobody moved. And I'm like, come on, guys. Let's find Gare Bear. Let's do this. Count of three, close your eyes and point with whatever you got. Here we go, all right. So I went one, two, three, close your eyes and point. Nobody moved. And then this woman in the group goes, we've all got each other's backs. And I was like, ooh, well, that might be the case now, but it wasn't when you got wounded. Dick, I agree. Dick, huge dick. So I just kept going on with the show. I was like, Ryan Seacrest is Tiny Ellen. And, but the woman who had yelled at me would not stop yelling. And she wasn't heckling me, she was inviting me to future Wounded Warrior events. So she was like, we've got a car wash every third Sunday and there's a gala in March. We would love it. And I was like, ma'am, I wish you had been wounded in the mouth. And that's when her entire group pointed at her. I'm like, oh, jeez. I got her. Whew. It wasn't Gary, it was Gabrielle. What am I thinking? Oh, yeah. So I swear, like every five shows, there'll be a wounded warrior in the audience, and they will come up to me afterwards, and they'll be like, we totally got a fucking Gary in our group. Oklahoma is a beautiful, beautiful state, you know, part of the Bay Area. Who fucking knows what that is? It's all there. No, beautiful, but they have a horrible problem. And that problem is tornadoes. They are deadly and horrible, but the best thing about tornadoes is tornado news coverage. Because for those weathermen and women, it is their Oscars, Grammys, and Emmys all wrapped into one breaking news report. It is showtime, and they will interrupt anything to give you the information. They'll be like, we're sorry to interrupt the finale of This Is Us, but we've got a situation over here in Jones County now. On this Doppler map now, if you look, this big orange blob, now if it, I've ejaculated, so Bob, take over. Bob runs in, straws up his butt, and Bob is like, now if that turns red, that means we have a winner. And they're so excited. And then there's always someone in the field. They got a reporter in the field. They're like, Jennifer, how is it out there? And she's like, shitty. I'm in the middle of a fucking tornado, asshole. There's shit flying everywhere. It's dangerous. And then they always say, through these reports, they're like, stay safe. They're like, stay safe, stay safe, stay safe. And as if some dad was like, kids, grab your bikes. Let's go see a tornado. Come on. Right? And then they always say, keep your pets indoors. Keep your pets indoors. Keep your pets indoors. Again, as if some dude was like, I wonder what a turtle could do to that thing. Oh, about what I expected. Like, Chauncey, go get that twister. Go get it. Go get it. Go get it.